Yeah. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Yeah.
Oh. That, I don't know if you like that, but it's a real sexy, it's a good song. Like, I always thought, like, ooh, I'd like to strip to that song.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I actually forgot about that song.
Right?
You know what my song is? It's Hozier, Take Me to Church.
I was thinking that's a good one, too.
So, I'll talk about this, because I did some burlesque classes.
Ooh.
And there's, I think I told you about her, Kalita from San Francisco.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. And so she has, like a healing burlesque class
that
ends in a performance.
Very cool.
And so if I was to take that class and to do the performance process with her, that is the song I would choose.
Love that.
Are we recording yet?
Yeah. You can start at any time.
Okay. Cool.
We're ready? Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Expressive Arts Collective of Long Beach. I am Sugathir Penn, one of your co-hosts. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and expressive arts therapist. And today I have a new co-host.
Hi, I'm Susanna Johnson and a fellow creative and good friend of Sue's. And I'm so excited to be here with her and talking to Samantha Parks.
Samantha, do you want to say hi?
Hi.
So Samantha Parks is a musician, dancer, artist, teacher, creative, wonderful human being. Sam, tell us about all the things. Where do you want to start?
Wherever you would like me to, honestly. What do you want to know?
Well, let's just talk about the amazing fact that you are a burlesque dancer, and how intriguing is that? Like, who doesn't, you know, love the idea of burlesque as an art? And I'm kind of curious, how did you get started? I know you have a pseudonym that you use for when you're performing. So I want to hear about that and how you came to that name. And I also want to hear about how you started dancing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's like three parts to that that I'm hearing.
Questions.
Yeah. I want to know all of them. There's so many more, too.
I love it. I'll start with, so my background with dance, I've been dancing basically my whole life since I was a toddler. You know, as in and out of studios. As I got older, it became more challenging to kind of find my place in the dance world. I took a long break. As a kid, I think age eight, I was getting really good, and I was an 8 year old taking like teen classes, and that really scared me. And my mom wasn't a stage mom. She's just very like, whatever you want to do, you know. She wasn't like a pusher. So she let me kind of quit for a while. And at the time I was growing up in California. I was raised in Riverside, California. We moved from California to Kansas. So that was a big culture shock, just a lot of, you know, things to process at that age. So I think I was just overall kind of like trying to find my identity as a marginalized person in like the Midwest. And then eventually I would say when I got to like maybe age 12, 11, I wanted to get back into dancing. And I found that like most studios, it was either kids that were like a little younger than me, or it was like competition dancing, or it was like Zumba classes for adults, you know? I didn't feel like there was like really a place for me to just go explore what dancing was for me. So that didn't stick. And then I got back into dancing in college. I started to take community college classes, and I've always kind of been rebellious when it comes to like, I don't know, your typical, like, I don't know if atypical is the word, but like, I just never wanted to like have like your, I don't know, like your 9-to-5 kind of life, I guess. I've always just been such an artist, like out of the womb. Mm-hmm. So even with school, I got to this place where I was like, I'm just going to take all my like elective, like my creative elective classes. I'm going to take dance. I'm going to take theater. I'm going to do all these like creative classes. And I kind of just like blew off all of my core classes. Didn't really pay attention in like, you know, mathematics and history and English. Didn't graduate either. But I started to kind of like work the system. I was like, okay, well, at least I can take advantage of the system and like dance through college. And so that kind of like was where I like fell back in love with dance in general and found access to it. And then I honestly don't remember what point I was like, ooh, burlesque sounds interesting. I've always been kind of sensual, like from a young age, very like sexually curious and, you know, kind of showing my midriff at a young age and watching my older cousin do all these things and just, you know, having crushes on boys. And I don't know, I got to a place in my adulthood where I was like, I found burlesque and I was like, that's something that I want to do eventually. I don't know how I'm going to get there. But I want to do that. And I, along the way, made these friends that ended up in a troupe called the Black Veils, back in, almost a decade ago. I think this was like my mid 20s.
And is this in the Midwest still, or is this
is in Long Beach?
Oh, okay.
So I moved
back
to
California.
Yeah. So I moved to California when I was 19,
nice.
On my own, just, you know, me and my dream, just chasing the dream, not, you know, willfully ignorant and thinking, you know, just everything would be at my feet, you know, just moving to the Mecca of art. And obviously it's been a long road. I'm 35 now. So it's been a long road, but around my mid 20s, you know, living in Long Beach, I found Long Beach is a happy accident, landed here, love it so much, never left, from 19 till now. So this troupe out of Long Beach, the Black Veils, I found out about them. Two of my friends were in the group, at the time that I found them about a decade ago. And I was like, ooh, is she looking, you know, is the director looking for anybody new? And they were like, oh, well, she sings in the group and she's looking for another singer. And I've always been a musician since, I mean, I've been singing since I was in fourth grade, you know, choir kid all the way through, you know, elementary and college and all that. I was like, okay, maybe that'll be my in. And it was, but I told my director when I started, like, I don't want to just sing. At the time, I was interning at an aerial studio as well, an aerial pole studio. And so I had aerial under my belt, music under my belt, as well as dancing. And I was like, dancing was like the goal. And I was like, I'll join, but I want to do all things. I want to maximize my skills in this troupe. So I did. I joined this group and I was an aerialist, a singer, and a dancer for this troupe. For, you know, the next 10 years, I worked my way up and we became a really tight knit family. We just retired this June, which is something that I heavily grieved for the last 6 months. Yeah, it's been a wild ride ever since June of this year. I guess the retirement of that troupe kind of led me to this idea of starting my own path, whatever that looks like. I'm kind of still figuring it out. And I can get more into that, you know, down the line. But when I joined this troupe, I had a few different identities. I started as, Mayvon Noir. We all had the last name Noir as the Black Veils. And I was inspired by Mae West and Sarah Vaughan because I've always been a super big jazz head, a jazz singer. So I was like, okay, Sarah Vaughan and then Mae West, you know, like the sassy, like 1930s movie star.
You know,
just like the pioneer of badass women. So that was my original burlesque name and persona. And then it started to feel like not me anymore. And I remember doing my makeup in a dressing room one day for a show and my friend was putting like glitter on my face and she's like, oh, it's like Nebula. And I was like, ooh, I like that. Nebula. So I just ran with Nebula Noir, like randomly just changed my name. So for a long time in the Black Veils, I was Nebula Noir. And then when the group retired, I was like, okay, I think it's time for another rebirth, you know, because that just felt like it was so sacred and specific to the Veils. And I kind of wanted to leave that where it was. And then I found Farrah Wild. So now I'm currently Farrah Wild. And that has a funny backstory.
I was going to say, I want to know the story.
Oh, yeah. That one's, yeah. I love an origin story for a name. I've never wanted to brand myself without it being super intentional. I ended up at this event in Long Beach. I went to my local bar, actually. Didn't know that there was an event happening. And it happened to be this event put on by a friend of mine. It was basically like speed dating for like the queer community. And I'm going to leave it at that. I, at the time, was not looking to date at all. So I was very caught off guard this night. And I remember walking in and just kind of hiding at the bar. And this one person, just super vivacious, like, spunky person came up to me. And they were like, you know what you remind me of? You're like a Ferrari in the hood. You're like just the right amount of classy and edgy, but I could tell, you know, you got a little grit to you. It's like a Ferrari in the hood. And I was like, I like that. I like that. So I started thinking about that. I'm like, that's interesting. And when I wanted to rebrand myself as a burlesque dancer, I thought, Ferrari, Farrah. Oh, Farrah. Okay. And then I started thinking about like Farrah Fawcett and like these classic, like, okay, is it associated with anything else that I resonate with? Okay, cool. And then I just came up with Wild, W-Y-L-D. So Farrah Wild was born out of just this random moment I had with a stranger in a bar who was picking up on a certain vibe, and I resonated with it, and here she is.
It's so funny. Awesome. You said Farrah Wild, and I thought you said Feral Wild.
Oh, like, yeah, I like
Feral.
That.
And I was like, it's I'll real it. Wild.
Yeah, I love the any kind of association. I'll take it. I like that association a lot.
Feral Wild.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I love that.
So kind of developing her, but you know, as long as it's organic and it feels authentic to me, it's like, yeah, I'm just running with it.
Yeah. So now that the Black Veils that is done, what is next? You have this brand, Bull's Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Will you tell us about that?
Yeah. So Bull's Daughter, my dad was a musician, and he had a hit song in the late 60s called The Funky Judge. And he was in a group called Bull and the Matadors. So my dad's stage name was Bull. He was not a part of my life. I was raised by my mom. He wasn't really in my life, but I always have cherished the fact that I feel like he passed down through my bloodline, like this talent, this natural, like music runs through my veins, you know, because my dad lived, breathed, ate music. And he passed when I was about 11. And when I went back home for his funeral, everybody was just saying, like, you're Bull's daughter, you're Bull's daughter. I'm his only child. Bull's daughter, Bull's daughter. And at the time I had been contemplating, like, who am I as an artist, as a musician? Mm-hmm. Like, I had really started to think about branding and marketing in a more serious way, which really stressing me out as an overthinker. I had come up with all these names that just were not feeling like, you know, good. And then I was like, oh, that's it. Like, Bull's Daughter. That's who I am. I also love the androgyny of it. Like, I wanted this mask and femme energy meshed because I don't feel like I'm really one or the other. I love that it has this earthy undertone to it. And yeah, so it just kind of came to me, and I've been running with it since, I don't know, 2010 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's, I feel like, my overall umbrella. Like, I don't know. Going by Samantha, like, there's so many Samanthas in the world, you know, Samantha Parks. Mm-hmm. It's like, it has a ring to it, but I don't feel like it's quite the vibe for, like, you know, my artist brand. It's like, you mm-hmm. know, you take people like Prince or Madonna or, you know, fill in the blank. So Bull's Daughter is kind of my version of that, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. And then within that I've got, you know, Farrah Wild and I don't know, maybe some more personas along the way. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah, I love the lore.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you heard that with the kids? The lore.
The lore.
Yeah. The background, the legend.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
It's interesting to me, the Bull's Daughter name. Mm-hmm. So, and that is that your handle mm-hmm. on social media?
Yeah. Oh, so, pretty okay. much everything.
So it's interesting to me when people have these names that are not their own, which is super common on social media. It gives you, in a very public space, kind of an apartness from your social media persona. So, and mm-hmm. and I think the stage name does that as well, in terms of allowing you to be something publicly without feeling a loss of privacy. Does that feel kind of accurate in terms of stage name or personal brand? Like,
yeah, I think for me, like, coming up with a separate burlesque persona, it, really just like a sensual persona. I think my overall brand is has a sensual undertone regardless. But I think I got to a place where I was like, okay, kind of want to differentiate. Like, for example, like I'm in a band, War Girl. That to me is like where Bull's Daughter, you know, really thrives, or any kind of thing I do musically. It's like that's separate from what I'm doing in the dance world, which is very sensually and sexually based. I wanted those to have separation because they're not always, you know, they don't always coincide with each other, you know? So I think in terms of that, that was like the bigger differentiation that I wanted. In terms of like my private life, I guess like that's just where I keep Samantha separate. Like she's like Samantha Parks. I am so much myself through these personas still. Like yes. They're such a massive part of me. I'm very unapologetically like these personas. I just feel like they're heightened when I'm like on stage or whatever. But I honestly am not the greatest with like, I don't have like a regular schmegular page for Samantha. You know what I mean? I feel like it's all just out there. Like I have Bull's Daughter on Instagram and I have Farrah Wild on Instagram. And then I've got a TikTok, Bull's Daughter, which is like, I guess that's like more my everyday. I don't really get too central on TikTok because they're really big on censorship. Otherwise I would. So I feel like if you wanted to get more of me and just talking about life stuff, it would be my TikTok. But I don't like consciously like make an effort to separate like my private, who I am privately versus like, I don't know, it all kind of intertwines, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally.
Yeah. I'm just curious because I don't have like a, I don't have a persona, you know, because I'm not a stage performer. So I'm just being curious about like how that works. Like, does it inform? I know that, the first, you know, people might have pen names when they're an author and they write under a different name, or as a performer, you might have a stage name. So I'm just kind of curious how this works, you know, when you're in your kitchen drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted a stage name too. For years, I've been like, ooh, if I was a burlesque dancer, what would my stage name be?
Yeah.
You know? Like, what a fun, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's super fun to have this persona.
Yeah.
Or perform it.
It's like a shield. I would say this. I would say over time, as I've gotten older, I've learned how to identify things I never understood, which is like the fact that I'm riddled with anxiety. And that's like that is a great example of something that a lot of people probably would not assume about me when they see me on stage. I seem like the most confident, you know, dom like person when I'm on stage, whether it's through music or dance. I have a very, you know, bold persona on stage. In life, I would say 99% of the time, I'm like in sweatpants with my hair up, no makeup, and I'm a very chill. I mean, maybe that's a stretch, but I'm just more, you know, I'm very.
You're pretty chill.
Yeah. I try to be, you know, I feel like there's a lot about me that people who see me on stage, whether it's performing burlesque or go-go dancing or singing with my band, they wouldn't have the first clue like who I am at my core. And I think that it's kind of this unspoken separation that I just keep sacred for myself. Like my close circle of friends and chosen family, I have those people in my life who really know me and really support me no matter what and understand me beyond this these characters I've developed. And I think that's enough for me, as opposed to having to like censor myself on the internet.
Right.
Which I understand in certain circumstances. Just for me, I'm lucky enough that I don't have to really answer to many people or do that. Like, I don't have a day job where it's like, I have to keep it super private.
Mm.
And I love it. I love that. You know, I think part of my brand is authenticity and unapologetic, just outwardness. And I think that that's part of like the lore is like people, students, for example, I think really appreciate the fact that there isn't like as much of a fourth wall.
Mm.
Like I really pride myself on being honest and empathetic and relatable and having humility.
Yeah.
As a teacher, as a performer, as an artist, you know, that's so important to me and something that I gravitate toward, and fellow artists, teachers, creatives, you know, So that's who I want to be. Always like humble to my roots, you know?
Yeah.
Never a God complex or superior to anyone, you know? I don't ever want to seem like intangible to people.
Yeah, just genuine self-expression, uncensored self-expression.
But to me, art is like so much about healing and, you know, so much about like inspiring. And like whenever I've come off stage and somebody has expressed to me, oh my gosh, like you encouraged me to do X, Y, Z, or you inspired me, or I never thought about this thing you provoked in me. That is what means the most about what I'm able to do, you know, to me.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of courage. Like, I am in awe of the courage that it takes to get up there and be super sexual or super sensual or super vocal as in terms of like your musical performances with your band. Like, any kind of vulnerability on stage with an audience can be very scary. And a lot of people, you know, don't have the bravery or the desire or whatever to get up there and perform. And so it's really, admirable and amazing that you have found this, means of expressing yourself, which is like soul enriching for you. That's what it sounds like. What I'm hearing is that like, it is who you are and you are, out there doing it.
Yeah.
And that's inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. It's like it's like a form of escapism for me. It's medicinal for me. It just is so ingrained in me, I think, because I started at a very young age. Not that I don't experience stage fright or anxiety or, you know, I get nervous, but I am lucky in that regard. Like, that's probably one of the last things I worry about. It's like, yeah, it's just so who I am and I need it. It's like it was always a non-negotiable for me, you know, being an artist, and everything that I've done, especially since moving to California, has centered around being super stubborn in my will to just be able to do this for as long as I can, you know, despite anything else. So,
Will you share more about the healing aspects of burlesque? Because one of the things that we connected on when we first chatted, and we're thinking about having you on the show, is that I took some burlesque classes up in San Francisco about 10 years ago, and I was in a troupe that did carnival for like 1 year, you know, and it was this class that led up to doing carnival and shimmying down the streets of San Francisco in a teeny tiny bikini.
Oh my God, I have goosebumps. I have like, they're not even goosebumps, they're like fear bumps right now. Like,
teeny tiny bikini.
Oh my
god. It was
god.
Pink and it had little pearls, so when you shimmy the pearls would go
cheers.
And I had one of those like
a headdress,
hair falls. You know, it's like a big ponytail.
Oh yeah.
And I had like really high hair and then the ponytail and like huge butterfly type. Anyway, it was a thing. And talk about courage.
Was it fun?
Oh, it was so much fun. Because something magical happens when you're in a class with a whole bunch of people who are accepting and cheering you on, and there's body positivity, and it, like, going through this troupe was so healing, and it really changed my relationship with my own body and my self-esteem. And like, was I terrified to shimmy down the streets of the Mission? Absolutely. But as I was doing it, in the crowd, everyone was like, yeah! You know? And it's like, there was this like moment of freedom of just being able to like have a great time and be super accepting of me and my body in this bikini and interacting with the crowd that was like all about it. It was a very healing journey. And so that's something that we connected on.
Yeah.
So will you speak to that about how burlesque has been healing for you?
Yeah. Oh man. Something that really stood out to me just off the top of my head hearing you speak is body positivity. Another thing that I don't think a lot of people would assume about me or know about me unless I were to share it. I was bullied a lot growing up for being overweight as a kid. When my mom moved me from California to Kansas, eating was my coping mechanism. And I was never taught how to manage my weight, or, you know, I didn't come from like a heavy fitness background or, you know, whatever it was. And yeah, it was really rough growing up being like, you know, I'm wearing a size whatever, 13 at age 12 or whatever, it just wasn't the common thing. You know, I'm borrowing my friend's parents' clothes in fourth grade or, you know, it's just, I was not only a minority and, you know, like because I was like darker skinned with curly hair, but on top of that, I wasn't like the status quo, you know, in terms of like the body archetype. So I really, really resonate with people who struggle in that regard. And like to this day, it's still a daily challenge for me to feel comfortable in my body and to feel like, you know, valid and accepted. And that's a big deal for me. When I created my classes back in 2020, which was such an experimental thing, you know, during 2020, everybody was like disconnected from themselves in some way or the other. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to, you know, people specifically about like their body image or how they're, you know, connecting with their body or lack thereof. And I started to think about wanting to help with that, you know, from not only myself, my partner at the time, we're no longer together, but my partner at the time was very encouraging of like, go move, you know, for yourself, go do these things. And so I started to do it for myself. And then I was like, what if I could do this for others? So what gave me that, like a quick pause on that, was joining the Veils. Like joining Black Veils gave me back so much agency on how I view myself and not having to fit into certain boxes and, you know, seek acceptance from people who have more of a narrow or small-minded view of what sexy is or what sensual is, or, you know, I think I kind of broke the barriers through being part of that group. You know, it just gave me back this permission to love myself on my own terms. And gave me back so much empowerment and the ability to empower others through that, empowering myself. So I felt like by the time 2020 rolled around, I had the, I guess, credentials or whatever you'd call it, and the experience to give that gift back. And that was my intention around beginning my classes. I started with privates, just one-on-ones with people who I met and talked to about wanting to move their bodies. I ended up, I think my very first student, my friend Jen, who to this day we're still friends, was going to her house and just like dancing with her in her living room and you know, figuring it out. And she loved it and she was so grateful. And it was always more than just teaching people how to do steps, you know, it was always more about the sentiment of like everything I'm talking about, you know, just gifting people with the permission to love themselves on their own terms. And to kind of break down these walls of shame around, you know, the stigmas of you know, embracing your sexuality as a woman, especially, and all of that. Although now, you know, and across over time, I have not limited myself to just having a women-based demographic. My thing is inclusivity. So as a queer Black woman, it is about like all bodies, you know, ethnicities, genders, sexual orientations, like, but as long as you're 18 plus, you know, I'm pretty much inclusive, like adults only. But outside of that, I have had a span from people who are grandmothers to people who are, you know, young adults who, you know, moms, new dancers, seasoned dancers, and all different types of body types and ethnic backgrounds and everything. I'm very lucky to have built the community that I have. Like, when you were talking, Sue, about like being in a classroom full of people who are just kind of all have the same end goal in a sense, or common ground, or something within that common ground that they can empathize with each other on. I'm so lucky to have a community of students like that. Like, there is no, and I kind of set that tone, like, leave your shit at the door. We're not coming in here to size each other up, to compete. No, there's no mean energy in this space. Like, it is a brave space for anyone to come and just explore. There is no pressure to reach a certain bar or, you know, meet a certain technique or, you know, I just want you to express whatever you need to express, you know?
So the word that jumped out from everything you just said that kind of like grabbed me at my heart center was shame, right? Because like when I think about like moving my body in in any way. Like, you know, it's that like fear of like being vulnerable on the dance floor, you know? And I grew up going to the club and going to raves and dancing all night and all that. But there's something about the freedom that you're talking about, of the freedom of like owning your own sensuality and being able to express your own individual, like sensual identity through dance, that I can internally, I respond to that breaking free of a certain shame. And I'm not sure where that comes from. That body shame, sexual shame, like all of that stuff. But I think that there is an opportunity, this healing opportunity that you're speaking of, is so profound, really. Like, just, I mean, there's so much there to unpack in terms of people's body, the body positivity and the, you know, stepping out of that, that stigma of sexuality, whatever it looks like.
Yeah, I've learned so much from the people that I've taught, like my students. I've had, countless students come up to me and say, your class has helped me work through XYZ trauma. And I'm very, very aware of the fact that I am not clinically informed. I'm never like here to diagnose anyone, or I'm just kind of, I just listen and take it and say thank you for expressing that, and I'm glad, and I hope that if nothing else I can continue to do that. But it's powerful, and it actually it sparked me wanting to become more trauma informed and like do some research and maybe take some courses on how I can go deeper with that. I have so many irons in the fire all the time, so I'm very overly ambitious, and it's hard for me to, like I was talking to you guys earlier about, you know, streamlining my focus. And so that's always been in the back of my mind, though, as something I've wanted to delve deeper into, not only for my students, but for myself, because I've also explored over time, you know, there are things that I'm still need to deal with, or that maybe I subconsciously am trying to heal through what I'm doing. And yeah, it's just spectrum. It looks different for everybody. Like the shame aspect of things, you know, like, even as like a yoga instructor, you know, the one of the first things I hear as a dance and yoga instructor from people who are a little apprehensive but curious about taking classes, you know, I'm not flexible, or I'm not sexy.
Right.
Or I'm not a dancer. And I'm like, but that's what a learning space is for. And it's unfortunate that maybe along the way you've had teachers who have made you feel like you had to have these prerequisite, you know, or this preconceived, you know, idea or skill set for you to come into a learning environment. Like, that's not fair, and that's not safe. And I've been set up for failure like that many times in the past by, you know, people as well. So I am so, so grateful that across the board, people will consistently tell me, I feel comfortable in your class. I feel safe in your class. You're so accepting. You're so good at like handling everyone and nurturing everyone. Cause it's challenging having like an all levels class, with dance specifically. Like, I want it to be inclusive, but it can be, it's like teaching, you know, kindergartners all the way up to high school, you know, like, for example, you're like, oh shit, like this is a wide range, you know, of people who come from very different, you know, backgrounds. So it has its challenges, but I get so much positive feedback about, you know, handling it well. And I never, I mean, I have anxiety and imposter syndrome and constantly question, you know, if I know what the hell I'm doing, and I'm just doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently like it's making a positive impact. So I'm happy with that result.
It sounds like you have figured out how to create a safe space for folks to come in, especially if they're coming in with any kind of trauma.
Yeah.
Like the foundation is creating that safe container for people to feel like they can explore, they can, you know, put their toe into something new, they can try it, and then they're met with a lot of love and positivity and acceptance. And that is how people start to heal, you know, is that they challenge themselves just enough, and then they're met with a lot of love and kindness and acceptance, and then they're like, oh, it's okay for me to like, you know, step a little outside of my comfort zone, my little box that I've put myself in to keep myself safe, but I call that the illusion of safety, right? Mm-hmm. That our ego puts us in. Mm-hmm. And doing something like this, it's experiential because trauma lives in the body. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, we have it in our brain, but, you know, it's easy to talk our way out of it, mm-hmm. but we still need to heal the trauma that's in our body. And you're providing this experience to actually move the trauma in a safe space and be met and witnessed by a loving community.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at you.
Yeah. And I'm continuing to learn. It's always a learning curve for me, you know, like I always feel like I don't know anything at all, you know, and I'm just learning as I go in life in general. Like, I think there's just always room for knowledge and education, and I love absorbing knowledge, and I love learning from people and growing and evolving. So yeah, thus far it's been really great, and I've been able to do that. I'm lucky that I've been able to make an impact.
I was just talking to my sister in the car on the way over here about the beginner's mind, right? About walking into any situation and really just having an open-minded space of like, what can I learn in this situation? And I feel so blessed to be here with you today, Samantha, because I feel like my world has expanded in hearing about your experience with dance and burlesque. Like, I just think that it's so amazing, the modalities that are out there for people to really embrace their own healing.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, I've been seeing a lot on my social media feed about these like somatic exercises to like unlock trauma in the body. And we're talking about this and it feels synchronicity, or maybe my phone's just listening to everything that I'm saying. Who knows? But you know, I think about like unlocking that in the body and like in the hips. Mm-hmm, and, you know, do you ever experience any kind of emotional release in your dance personally, where she's nodding?
Oh,
she's
nodding all the time. I feel like, you know, having a yogic background, because I became a yoga teacher first back in like 2016, taught me a lot about like that release in the body and where we store things and how we store them and how to release them. So I'm able to kind of marry that in my teachings as a dancer. Me, myself, I've always operated intuitively as a musician. I do everything by ear. You know, my choir conductor growing up always detested that about me. Like, I wasn't a sheet music reader, sight reader, you know. So same with dance. It's like when I started teaching in 2020, I wasn't a quote unquote choreographer. Like, I've never been like your technical kind of gal. That turns me off. If I go to a hyper-technical class, like if I go take class in LA, for example, I'm like, that's my version of just being like beginner, you know? I'm like, I don't know what I'm walking into. I know that there's going to be a certain bar and a standard. And so when I started becoming a choreographer, I had to like just figure it out. And as a musician, I'm so connected to music. That is, you know, my partner. I always select music, one, that resonates with where I'm at. What's my mood? And then I go from there. And then I literally will work on choreo for like 4 to 6 hours at a time because I'm feeling it out in my body. I'm trying things on. I'm like, you know, that doesn't quite feel right, or that doesn't flow, or, you know, I am, one of my downfalls is I am a perfectionist, and I'm an overthinker, like I said. So I will kind of get in my head about wanting it to be a certain way, but the process for me is always just kind of like, how does this feel? And even as a yoga teacher, how does it feel for me? And if it feels good for me, it's more than likely going to feel good for, you know, them. But I always offer, you know, options. Cause I don't know what your body needs and what your mind needs. I just can offer this, you know, maybe this prompt, like if I'm teaching, you know, when I was going through my breakup, it was like a lot of, you know, slower, maybe more sensual songs that are talking about that. And I'm just, again, the honesty thing, you know, this is the energy I want you to channel in class today, whatever that is for you. How does that resonate with you? Or maybe it's just like a big, you know, smash the patriarchy vibe or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, it just depends on my mood that week or that month. And that's how I move. And I feel like that alone is such a release for me.
Yeah. Moving anger through the body, moving sadness through the body,
100%.
Moving grief through the body, moving
joy even, right? Yeah. Like, maybe just having something more fun. Like, I've you know, choreographed more quirky stuff in the past or whatever the word may be, you know, and it's like, we're just going to have fun today. Mm-hmm. There is no deep waters today. It's just kind of like, have a good time.
Yeah.
It depends. It depends, you know?
Yeah. I can't remember all the details, but my teacher up in San Francisco, Kalita, she had different movements because she had been trained in some trauma-informed somatic type stuff. Mm. And the different movements of burlesque, they release different things. So like,
oh, cool.
So like the chest shimmy does something for the brain. And then like figure eights does something else for the brain.
Ooh.
And then shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I know shaking like a dog when you get scared, it like helps release the adrenaline. So it helps to get you into a calm, relaxed state. So I know at least the shaking one, but I can't remember exactly like what she said, but she had this whole like breakdown of it's not just dancing for the sake of dancing, but the way in which you intentionally move your body, you are healing parts of yourself.
Mm.
It was really juicy work.
Yeah. Oh, juicy is a good word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. I like want to look more into that because that's, mm-hmm. I think I know it's there. Like I feel the release, like because I move intuitively, but mm-hmm. I don't know about like the textbook, you know, like what is releasing what and how. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like that's why I want to become more informed so that I can educate people because I also want to know. It's fascinating.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. It's totally just interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know the science behind it,
right?
But like that's where the intuitive piece comes in, mm-hmm. is like, where is this feeling, you know, right,
yeah,
in my body.
Yeah. And earlier the word that stood out to me is gift. You wanted to give this gift to other people, and that's how I felt about expressive arts, that I received expressive arts therapy and it was a gift to my life, and so that's why I wanted to give it. Where was I going with that? I don't remember where I was going with that.
Story of
my
life.
I'm gonna squirrel the conversation really quick since you're like having a moment. Go ahead. Did you find it? Did you get it? Did you get it back? I want to hear it. What is it?
I lost it again.
Relatable content.
I was just gonna ask you because you said you have so many irons in the fire right now, and so what iron is the hottest? What is the hottest iron in the fire? What is lighting you up the most today? Your smile's pretty big, so there's gotta be something.
I'm laughing. Well, I'm like smiling so big because I'm like, well, today, you know, or this month, the iron is.
What is it today?
I would say as of late, it's this production company that I'm starting. I'm trying to watch my language and not say something like trying to start. Because I have started it. And I don't have to have it all figured out right out the gate. You know what I mean? I think showing up is like half the battle. And starting is the hardest part. And I already have two productions under my belt. My first was at the end of October. And my second was in November. And that, as I said earlier, stemmed out of the retirement of my burlesque troupe. It was all very much a happy accident. It was very serendipitous. It felt very aligned. I had a friend at the time who wanted to sponsor my group before we retired. And she happened to catch me the month we decided to retire. So she set me up with a meeting with a manager at a venue to potentially have us perform during the month of Pride, which started in June. And I set the meeting up. And then the meeting happened to fall the day after we as a group had our retirement meeting, which none of us saw coming. So we had the retirement meeting the day before this other meeting that I had to basically pitch us to perform for Pride. And I thought to myself at the time, well, I don't know what's going to happen with this retirement. Maybe we'll do some one-offs. Let me just take the meeting and see. I don't know what's happening yet. Let me just take the meeting. I take it. I tell, you know, the manager of this venue what's going on. I'm like, look, we just had a retirement meeting yesterday. I'm still processing. Things are very raw. Let me have a week to just kind of see where we're at. But through talking to this manager, they just really took a shine to me and were like, okay, but you seem great. Have you thought about starting something of your own? And I was like, absolutely not. That sounds like a lot. Like relax, you know, and my imposter syndrome set in like tenfold. I was like, hold on, no. Because I had taken a step back from teaching at this point, which I did this May. I just have been reevaluating a lot of the choices I've been making because I was experiencing extreme burnout and just like overwhelm and hitting kind of a plateau. So I feel like the universe was just like, what about this? And I gave it a week, you know, and I talked to my director because I wanted her blessing. And I, you know, it was just really interesting, like a crossover of things. And then eventually I just thought, what if I did that? And what would that look like? And through talking to some close friends, it was a friend of mine, actually one of the girls from Vails that I had worked very closely with. She and I had actually done some outside workshops together and stuff. She said, what about starting a production company? And I thought, I don't know what that means. But she's like, well, then you could umbrella all these other things that you do. And I said, that's brilliant. So yeah, that's just been the focus now, is like figuring out what this production company, which I'm calling Fluid and Fierce Productions. And I had done a dance project called Fluid and Fierce already, and actually created a dance that ended up in a Vail show called Fluid and Fierce. So that name is already in my back pocket. And I'm like, well, that's obvious. Fluid and Fierce Productions. So that's the name of the company. And I think within that, I want to, you know, teach, and I want to host workshops, and I want to do classes, and I want to do productions, like performance productions, and whatever else I decide, you
do,
know?
Do you see yourself forming a troupe as a part of that, or do you see yourself operating solo for a while and doing things on your own?
I think probably the second. Like, I know out the gate, I was like, I don't want a troupe. I don't want to limit myself to having this exclusive group, because I was part of that, and it was beautiful, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. But to me, that feels limiting in a sense, because I want to expand, and I think my big thing is giving a platform to fresh blood, like some students I've seen, just a spark in. I'm like, I want to pull them up and kind of be like, I've been gauging the interest of students lately. Like, who's interested in performing? Okay, let's get you there. Like, who could I train and take under my wing now and gift the mm-hmm. things I was gifted? You know, who could I give a platform to shine? And for me, it's always about uplifting marginalized groups of people specifically, but anyone who maybe just hasn't had been given the opportunity, you know, that's what I want. And I feel like that's, I mean, there's so many areas in which I can do that. So I think, yeah, I just want the option to explore.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you brought up.
Good
just
job.
Just the, you know, the work that you are doing and who you are naturally, and then like these classes, the one-on-ones, the groups, the whatever, the production company, is you're giving a gift on so many levels that you might not even be like aware, like therapeutically, mm-hmm. like this gift that you're giving runs real deep and is going to transform lives.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's what I was thinking,
because we were talking about like, oh, like, you know, the little shimmy,
yeah.
or like the little figure eights, those are deeply healing. That's healing the brain and healing the trauma, right? And that's just a basic move.
Yeah.
And then you put in this, like, this holding container, this safe space that you provide, and the witnessing that you provide. And then on top of it, you know, potential performance and what that does for someone's confidence. You know, that can change somebody's life to have the opportunity to be up on stage and to thrive and to be supported.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You're giving a big gift to the world.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited that we met and that you came on the show.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. It's such a compliment. It's just always, and I think we'll always will be so humbling. It always has been and always will be so humbling to just hear any kind of positive feedback and encouragement. Like, even through the last two productions, I've met people that, or just have such an avid belief in what I'm doing and who I am, and have this feeling like you're gonna go far. And I'm like, thanks. I'm just a girl with a dream who didn't know what she was doing, you know, at 19, and still feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And so to hear people just validate and support me through it all it means the world. So I appreciate that encouragement. Thank you.
That was my little interjection. So we've got maybe about 10 more minutes left.
Okay.
Anything else that you want to share with us? Or Susanna, you got any other great questions?
Yeah.
Well, curiosities?
I'm always curious, like, when somebody says they have a lot of irons in the fire, I want to hear about all of those projects, because I'm the type of person, too, who has a lot of creative ideas, and then I struggle with, like, okay, which one am I going to focus my creative energy on? And I think that that's something relatable for a lot of creative people.
Yeah.
So asking you about the production company, I'm excited about that. We learned a little bit about your band. So do you guys have any gigs that are coming up that we can come and support you?
We are working on our third album right now. So we're not focused on live performances until that's pretty much wrapped. And we're like two songs away from being done with the album. Hopefully beginning of the new year, we will be fully ready to release and stuff. That has been a long journey. I mean, 2020, the pandemic really took us out. We were in the middle of touring on our second album, and it was on this steady incline, and then obviously the world shut down. So that bounce back has been quite the journey. It has been, we're going on what, year four in 2024 now of trying to get this third album finished, and we're almost there. So I cannot wait to have live performances. And I always post about that stuff on my social media. But War Girl Band, if you want to hear some stuff, we're on all platforms. And go check us out and give us a follow. So yeah, we're still going strong. Just figuring out, you know,
in this the third album.
Yeah, in the studes. And then the production company. I did start a class called Dish that is basically a hub for... I want to work smart, not hard. So with this class, I want to make it more performance-based, teaching people how to go beyond the step. What is performance? You know, what is the etiquette of coming to a performance? What is building a persona? You know, there's so many intricacies of performing that I want to get into. So I think I want to turn Dish into like a monthly workshop that I start. Instead of just doing like random dance classes, well, not random, but you know, dance classes, I want to have like these like little baby intensives where I can start to help build people and train people to learn what it is to eat, whether or not you want to be on the stage or not, you know, just go more in depth with that. So that's something that's I've been contemplating. I'm already talking with new venues about like future productions. And so around that, I've been taking December and January to kind of think about what that looks like and how to prepare for that. Like if I'm going to hold auditions or, you know, who I'm going to cherry pick next to be in shows and what those shows look like. And always, I'm always just in this entrepreneurial mindset thinking about, I was just stretching the other day and I was like, maybe I should do a sensual strength workshop at my yoga studio. Like just thinking about workshops. I just had a talk with a friend last night about collaborating on a workshop. She's an amazing yoga instructor and we want to combine forces. So honestly, just planting all the seeds I can for 2024. And always at the base, giving myself as much autonomy as possible and agency over my life, making my own decisions, you know, being in charge of all of it, who I work with and how I work and what I make. And yeah.
Are you teaching yoga right now?
Yeah.
And so where can I come and take your class?
That's Raw Yoga Long Beach. I only have one class a week on Tuesday mornings. It's at the Exchange.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So 9:15 a.m. on Tuesdays, I teach a yoga strength class. It's heat, yoga, and weights. You're going to get a little flow. You're going to get a little workout. It's going to be a big party. It's a very music-centric class.
That's for beginners.
That's for everyone.
Oh, okay.
And I treat it like I do my dance classes, right? So it's always like your body first, me second. I don't care. Take a nap. Lay down in Shavasana for half of class. It's your practice. You know, I'm very of that philosophy as a teacher, you know.
Sometimes I feel like I need child's pose, like in the middle of the grocery store. Yeah, like I just want to be grocery shopping and just be like, nope, Trader Joe's, not today.
And that's your business. Like I'm like
into child's
pose. I don't know your business. Do what you gotta do. I'm just a guide, you know? Nothing's mandatory. Ever. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Okay, so I have another question. I've like been these questions have just been bubbling.
Yeah.
So Long Beach.
Yeah.
You've been here for a while, and it's a great town, and I want you to speak a little bit about the creative scene in Long Beach and just how that has helped you personally and your feelings about it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Long Beach is the best.
It is. And moving here was a happy accident. I didn't plan to come here. I felt I ended up here because of an unfortunate series of events, and I'm grateful for it. I'm so grateful for it. It's my home away from home always. God, I would just say just how founded Long Beach is in community. I've always loved that you can go anywhere and people are just nice. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so easy to just make new friends wherever you go. It's so eclectic. You know, every street has its own vibe. It feels like every block's got its own, you know, vibe and whatnot. Like, I live in the gayborhood right now, and if you know, you know. Love it. Love that for me. I would just, I don't know, the relationships I've developed over time are insane. I would say Long Beach also helped me come into my queerness. Mm-hmm. Hands down. Like, I've always been a hardcore ally, but like, I mean, that was kind of like the root of where I started to get really comfortable out here. I worked at, you know, a local gay coffee shop, Hot Java, for many, many years in my younger 20s. And, you know, I used to go to Hamburger Mary's every single Thursday for Dollhouse when that was a thing, when it was the old location back on Alamitos and I think Broadway, you know, but if you know, you know, once again, you know, so that alone, just the community is like, it's just been a huge part of me identifying, you know, and like coming to my own identity. And then as a creative, I mean, gosh, I can't even, I'm like, if I look back on all the things I've done and the people I've collaborated with, and it's just insane, you know, like from jazz gigs to open mic, I used to run my own, like, I called it a speakeasy, but open mic for 3 years at, Hallelu Caribbean Kitchen, which unfortunately is no longer, but I used to be in their banquet space for 3 years. And like that, I would bring in vendors and painters and dancers and actors and singers. And it was like this hub. That's why I called it, you know, like, it was like a vaudeville inspired open mic.
Amazing.
Right. So like I was part of a theater company out of community college that I was in for 3 years, urban theater movement. We came from Cerritos to LA, and we ended up, you know, I ended up eventually leaving, but through that I found spoken word, and I found, you know, I produced my own short play, and I was an actor, you know, for a long time and really focused in that. And I met a lot of people through that, just like the different, and then I met all these amazing poets through spoken word, and I've met amazing musicians and dancers. And then outside of that, just like now I'm working with like, I have a performance coming up on the 29th of December at Secret Island underneath Shannon's on Pine. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine manages it, and I'll be working with this amazing DJ. Her name is Letty. Oh dear, Letty on Instagram. If you want to follow her, I love women who are taking over male dominated industries. And she's a woman of color as well, and a badass DJ. So now I'm working, like, I feel like I'm getting into like the DJ circuit now, and like my friend Jackson, AKA Dirt Naps, like, we have collaborated. Yeah, you know Dirt Naps. Yeah. Dirt Naps DJed my last dance production, and like now they're kind of in, you know, in my hub. I'm just creating this team of people that I believe in wholeheartedly that I can take with me wherever I go. Like one of my really good friends, Krista Ortiz, has Cherry Noir Vintage. She's this shop of like spooky vintage knickknacks and jewelry and things. She's also a makeup artist, and I'm like, you know, you're my girl. When I go on the road, you know, speaking it into existence, you're my makeup artist. And like Letty and Jackson, I'm like, okay, I've got my DJs. Okay, I've got, you know, like I'm building my team of people that I, you know, want to bring up the ladder with me. And I feel like Long Beach has gifted me a lot of that, you know?
Right. It sounds to me like if I wanted to put on some kind of creative mastermind workshop thing, I could just call you and be like, bring them.
No, literally.
Like, and you would just bring the creative mojo.
I am notorious for bringing the people that I love most together. And there has never been a gathering, and I pride myself on this, where I bring my friends together who have not yet met, and they don't walk away with a new friend. Ugh, like everybody just vibes, you know?
Yeah. That.
And that's a reflection, I think, of the company that I keep. I mean, even like my friend Katie Baggs, astrologist, amazing. Like, if you're into that, you know, you want a reading. And I've thought about all these things, collaborating. Who could I have as a vendor for this workshop? You know, could have Katie doing readings over here and Krista selling knickknacks over here. You know, like, there's so many directions to go based off the community that I have. You know, I'm very, very grateful. And I think that that's no shade, but I'm not going to Los Angeles and LA and getting that. You know what I mean? No. I go there and I feel like an alien, personally. And I come to Long Beach and I feel like I can breathe again.
Yes. Right.
And that's what I love about this city.
Yeah. Is you're like welcomed with open arms here in Long Beach. And
yeah.
Everybody is like excited for everybody else. And everybody's like, what you're doing is so cool. How can I be involved?
It's special.
Like, it's, yeah.
It's very special. Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's special. Yeah. And that's, you know, and people I think who live here and have been part of the community for a long time, because we're all lifers, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've met one person who's left Long Beach and hasn't missed it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So can I ask one last question? Do we have time? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the last question I wanted to ask, is what would you say to, you know, the young, you were talking about lifting people up, and what would you say as like, you know, words of encouragement for somebody who was interested in maybe trying burlesque dancing, but had never really done it before and was thinking about embarking on that journey?
Start. And if you are not sure where to start, do your research and maybe just reach out. I can't tell you how many times I've built beautiful relationships from just reaching out. Just ask. Just, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. You know, if you're not sure, inquire. And then, you know, trust yourself enough to just start. You don't have, it doesn't have to be right the first time, you know. Let it be what it is. You know, and know that there are so many options out there for you. And it's like finding the right math teacher. If the first one doesn't resonate, you need to find another one, you know?
Or finding the right therapist.
Right. Yeah. Or environment, right? If a studio environment or a class environment doesn't work for you, maybe you inquire about privates, or you get some friends together and you do a semi-private with them. Like, you got to find your zone and your people and your environment. And there's a lot that's accessible to us out there. So know that there's just not one track. It's not, it's not a one track thing. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Sam.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Chatting with us today. So tell us one more time, where can we find you?
Yeah. Bull's Daughter, on Instagram. Is my main page, and then Farrah.wild, FERRAH.WYLD is my burlesque page. And then Bull's Daughter on TikTok.
And Raw Yoga on Tuesday mornings.
Oh, yeah, Raw Yoga on Tuesday mornings. Yeah.
I think Suzanne and I will probably be visiting
you. You're probably going to see us very soon.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Your mask makes. I want you to redo your outro because it's too early in the
morning. My outro?
Your outro the same. So
that's all I say. Bye.
Just bye. Thank you for listening.
All right, everybody. That's love. We'll go again. Take three. All right, everybody. That's it from us this week. I hope you have a great week and tune in next time. Bye.